makes me treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? There's nothing in the whole world too good for a guy that's good and true. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you? Gave you my money, a diamond ring, big Cadillac car, and everything. It's love that makes me treat you the way that I do. Gee, baby, ain't I good to you?
What's up, everybody? You're listening to the Spencer Latu Show on CITR 101.9 FM. We are a progressive politics show broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory on UBC's Point Grey campus. I'm with my co-host, Ajit.
What's up?
And I'm your host, Spencer Latu. And for today's show, we are speaking truth to power about genocide, climate change, UBC, and how hard it is to be in the 1%. So I'd like to start this broadcast off with a land acknowledgement. We would like to begin the show tonight by acknowledging that the land on which we gather is the unceded territory of the Coast Salish peoples, including the territories of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh nations. So just like to get that out there that, yes, we are broadcasting live, but from unceded territory, which is really not okay. And it's hard to have a just society when you treat the indigenous people of this society the way that we currently do. I would also like to go on with some thoughts about colonialism, because colonialism is ultimately why we are in this situation where we, the colonizers, people who are not indigenous people, are now wrestling with how to create a society in which everyone is treated fairly and just. And currently in the news, we have to look at the psychiatrization of indigenous people as a continuation of genocide. This was in an article in rabble.ca. It was written by Bonnie Burstow. And this is kind of taking on the whole cultural genocide narrative that is pushed really hard by the liberals and some center left people that say that although residential schools and actually just the outright murder of indigenous people historically, as well as the 60s scoop and the like, that those are not they don't consider them genocide, but what they actually are is cultural genocide. And I am, and the author Miss Burstow, we completely disagree. And the reason why we disagree is because the United Nations, thankfully, has a definition for genocide. And it says that any of these acts committed with intent to destroy in whole or part a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group is genocide. So there's five different categories, and we're going to skip to the fifth. And it says that forcibly transferring children of the group to another group counts as genocide. So it's cultural genocide to the so-called moderate people. It's cultural genocide to the so-called center-left or to the fake left of the Liberal Party of Canada. But to the UN, it is actual genocide. And I think that's important to remind everybody, and especially if there's discussions going on about Indigenous people and where we're at as a society, is to say that we did not commit cultural genocide. We committed actual genocide. We actually forcibly transferred children of the group to another group, on top of killing people, on top of destroying their language and their culture through residential schools. But like, clear as day, that is genocide under the UN Convention of Genocide. And I'd like to point out how what was done is genocide, but what is still being done is genocide to Indigenous people. And this is in the more sinister of ways. So before we move on to that, Ajit, do you have anything to say about cultural genocide and actual genocide?
Well, I mean, it's just kind of doing the same same outcome, different processes is pretty much what it is. You know, you destroy somebody's identity, you're essentially still wiping out that culture, right? You're wiping out that society that you want to remove. You're just doing it in a more subdued manner, I guess. You're not killing them outright, but you're killing their identity. You're killing their heritage. And, you know, if people don't have that, what do they even have to begin with?
Yeah, we're not gassing people in chambers like the Holocaust, and that example will come back up shortly. And it's not necessarily the Rwandan genocide where millions of people are getting murdered, but we still have thousands upon thousands of bodies and an entire culture that's been wiped off the face of the earth. And the only people to hold accountable is our society, and that is why it's important. Although we were not the ones who did it, yes, we get it, we're not alive in the 1800s. You really got us reactionaries. You've twisted my arm. No, well, considering that we continue to profit off the system that has destroyed these people, it is now our duty as the people who are profiting from that and live on their land to do everything in our power to fix it. So that is why we're talking about this today. And how it's happening today? Well, so this is sad because it also brings in mental health. So from the trauma faced as just being part of the residential school system, the 60s scoop, or just getting beaten up by the RCMP, being targeted by the RCMP, being targeted by police in every city across Canada, Indigenous people are suffering from mental health issues. They have a suicide rate three times the national average, and they're suffering in quantifiable ways. So to say that that this is just a mental health problem is like saying that the Holocaust and its horrible the Holocaust as well as the Nazi policies towards Jews is just a mental health problem, and that if by giving them more medication it's going to solve the problem. It's not that these people have their serotonin levels too low. It's the fact that they're victims of violence every day and they're going through an ongoing genocide, and that's why they're suffering. So we've acknowledged that it's three times the rate of non-Indigenous people. So Indigenous people are three times more likely to kill themselves than Indigenous people, and that was the same level of Jews after the Holocaust. So the parallels are there, people. And to say that giving these people these psychiatric pills, handing them out like candy on these reservations, is doing anything to solve the problem, it's not. It's just causing them more and more side effects that they didn't want and didn't need. And you know what would really help Indigenous people? Maybe not mental health services through giving them pills, but maybe, I don't know, a movement like Idle No More. an organization that gave people power again, that made them feel proud to be Indigenous, and made them proud to live in Canada and do something about the way that this country is going and the way that this country is treated Indigenous people. That's how you help these people. But guess what? The establishment, the powers that be in Canada, the property owning class, the political operatives, they don't, and just like our friend a couple weeks ago said from Nunavut, they don't give a fuck about Indigenous people. They just don't care.
No.
And Prime Minister Trudeau, if we empower Indigenous people through grassroots organizations like Idle No More and the protests against Kinder Morgan, that will make their community strong. But that's completely diametrically opposed to our interests, which is ramming down their throats more resource extraction, less social services, and more violence against them through our police state that we have. So guess what? They can no longer be empowered. And in fact, we're just going to give them pills to make them stupid and just sit on their hands while their lives are getting destroyed. And thank God Indigenous people are stronger than most Canadians, and with all the disadvantages they face, they still go out to protest, they still build tiny homes in the way of the Trans Mountain extension, they still show up to protest against the destruction of planet Earth. It's hard because the narrative spun by the media, as well as just terrible people and conservatives in general, is that they do nothing and they just take handouts. Well, they're the only ones fighting for climate justice in our world. Ajit, do you have any thoughts about Indigenous rights, Indigenous people, and Indigenous resistance to their own genocide?
Connecting to the earlier point you made, how that, like, a lot of, I don't know, reactionaries or people in general, they like to foster this disconnect between what happened in the past isn't related to what's happening now. And it's kind of interesting what you see here is that, you know, related to colonial era genocide, that was kind of like a precursor to, establish your capital markets, right? You know, you got to kill people to kind of subdue them and, you know, sell them crap and all that stuff. This is just, you know, again, it's more covert, you could say. This time it's just doctors handing them out. There's middlemen in the process. It's more sophisticated, not really, because it's pretty obvious what's really going on. And the whole other thing, relating it to what happened in Nazi Germany is that they saw people who were different from them, and, you know, they labeled them irregular. And obviously, we already know the history of what Indigenous Canadians have suffered, and there's obvious evidence as to why their conditions are this way, right? But this isn't how we should treat their irregularities, extreme poverty, their certainly mental health issues, alcohol and drug abuse. But, you know, you don't get them hopped up on more pills, or you don't just try to ease their pain by, again, getting them addicted to other things. It's, again, just capital doing its main function in terms of what the government, how the government likes to impose it on marginalized people.
Yeah, they take this opportunity of a broken community that they themselves shattered, and rather than pick up the pieces and put it back together, they just continue to exploit them, because that's all capital can really do, which is exploit labor power from the workers. And on top of that, I really liked your points there. And, and I'm glad you talked more about the Holocaust, because it's pretty obvious that the Holocaust was horrible.
Right.
I mean, to most people. I mean, some neo-Nazis, not really.
No.
But they're already lost, okay? That's like, you know, we're going to speak to the reasonable part of society and not the Trump base. And the Andrew Scheer voters. So we all agree genocide is bad. So why is it going on still? Why do we allow it? It's because, guess what, people? Our world's built on genocide, okay? That's why you're so comfortable with it. That's why you can live your life without feeling sick to your stomach. It's hard for you to watch black and white Schindler's List. You know, that'll make you cry. But then you see an Indigenous person on the downtown east side, you're like, oh,
fuck it.
Yeah. Oh, they're so lazy. If only they worked harder and just had more bootstraps or whatever you know.
He must really love his drink.
Yeah. It's like, oh, just a bunch of boozers, handouts, blah, 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 blah. And like, when you accept that, oh my God, my thinking and my rhetoric actually echoes and parallels directly to that of Nazis, that of other people who have committed genocides, then people can finally realize, like, oh yeah, maybe our colonial society built up of people that are not from here, that dominate people that were from here, and using exploited labor from other marginalized groups to build the society we have today, might be wrought with some issues and might be a little bit closer to the genocide suicidal maniacs that we pretend to be so disgusted by than right. we would possibly think.
Right. And that's why the title, Continuation of Genocide, is so apt.
Yeah, it's continued and it's going to continue until we have some serious institutional and societal change, some macro level change that will have to come. But guess what, people? It might be on its way, because moving on to our next subject, we're lucky to have Indigenous people in Canada that give a crap about the environment and actually show up and put their bodies on the line and get arrested by the RCMP. They face the people that have terrorized them, that have ripped them away from their kids, and they stare them down and they say, we're gonna protect the water because water is life. And it's a good thing that they're doing that, because the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, you might have seen this in the news lately, their press release, a summary for policymakers, not for you listeners and not for us, because we're not policymakers, so it's not important for us to read it, right? Not like we have a stake in our society, just for policymakers. This was released the 8th of October, 2018. The summary for policymakers of IPCC, Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, special report on global warming of 1.5 degrees Celsius, approved by governments. So from that, this was reported from Incheon in the Republic of Korea. It says limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius would require rapid, far-reaching, and unprecedented changes in all aspects of society. The IPCC said in a new assessment, with clear benefits to people and natural ecosystems, limiting global warming to 1.5 degrees Celsius compared to 2 degrees Celsius could go hand in hand with ensuring a more sustainable and, hey, billionaires, listen up, equitable society, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change said on Monday. The special report on global warming of 1.5 degrees Celsius was approved by the IPCC on Saturday in Incheon, Republic of Korea. It will be a key scientific input into the Katowice Climate Change Conference in Poland in December, when governments review the Paris Agreement to tackle climate change. 91 authors and review editors from 40 countries prepared the IPCC report in response to an invitation from the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change when it adopted the Paris Agreement in 2015. The report's full name is Global Warming of 1.5 degrees Celsius, an IPCC special report on the impacts of global warming of 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels and related global greenhouse gas emission pathways in the context of strengthening the global response to the threat of climate change, sustainable development, and efforts to eradicate poverty. So I know that was a mouthful, but what they talked about was the fact that we have warmed the planet 1.5 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels already, and the related global greenhouse gas emission pathways are in context to the need to strengthen the global response to the threat of climate change and think about sustainable development, as well as efforts to eradicate poverty. Because guess what, people? It's not just the left that's screaming it. It's the IPCC. It's the UN that they all can say, after spending millions of dollars in their weird bureaucratic time, that they've come to the same conclusion that Marx did almost 200 years ago, that, yep, this is all interconnected, and that if you have infinite growth in a finite system, that there's going to be some adverse effects. And what I mean by infinite growth in a finite system is that we have a system built on profit, built on exploiting the planet, that needs to continue to profit to keep the property-owning classes economically stable, and to keep this system going, because it's built on waste. We need to create more than we really need to create value through exploiting people and taking away power from workers. So now what that has given us is, you know, we got all these great things, including climate change, and we're going to get more into climate change and what the response of our policymakers needs to be right after these commercials. So stick with us. We'll be right back.
Discorder, that free magazine from CITR, has been documenting the best in music, arts, and culture since 1983. Let's see what one man of prestige has to say about Discorder.
What up, though? This is Big Snoop Dogg, and I fucks with Discorder magazine. How about that?
Smoke you every day.
Pick up a copy around Vancouver or f*** with Discorder online at discorder.ca.
People are really done with politics as usual.
But then it's all about the competition.
every Vancouverite has their own story.
The perfect time for our alternative.
Vancouver's municipal election looms. October 20th. Do you know who's running for
City Council? School Board? Parks Board?
This is a wacky municipal election, and you're going to want to stay updated. Download Seeking Office, the newest municipal elections podcast from CITR's News Collective. Find Seeking Office on iTunes and Stitcher, or wherever you download your podcasts, starting July 3rd.
What's up, everybody? We're back. You're listening to the Spencer Latu Show on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory. I'm with my co-host, Ajit.
What's up?
And I'm your host, Spencer Latu, and we're talking about climate change and the IPCC. That is the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change that basically came back and said to policymakers that we're fucked. We need to upend the entire system for anyone to survive on this planet, because if we heat the globe past 2 degrees Celsius, we will be so screwed that you don't. I'm happy they didn't give out some information of how bad it'll get, but a lot of people have already done good work and have figured out that, yeah, basically everyone on the coast will be underwater. So, I mean, I'm not excited to be living underwater because Vancouver is one of those places. Right. Ajit, do you have any plans about living underwater? Do you have a submarine or something waiting for this disaster?
Oh, yeah, totally, man. I just purchased submarine insurance. I'm kidding. I don't fucking...
No, yeah. So it turns out the poor people are going to be really adversely affected. Thank God Peter Thiel has that bunker in New Zealand to go to. I was really worried about all the billionaires that caused this disaster in the first place.
Well, just a quick note to, you know, all the working class. And by this, I mean, you know, especially you white voters who get sold this this double talk, I guess, you know, to Orwellian phrase.
It's very Orwellian, but yeah.
Right. No, like, you know, limit the immigration, but, you know, keep to those jobs which keep emitting crazy amounts of carbon. Hey, everything's interrelated, buddy. Immigration, you're going to have a refugee crisis in 30 years, I bet.
By 2050, the Middle East was projected to become unlivable. So you thought it was bad when the 30 Syrians showed up after the Syrian war? Well, wait until the whole Middle East empties out into the rest of the world.
And those, Shanghai, what is that, like 30 million Chinese people? Southern India, that's another 200 million brown people. So, hey, get ready for, you know, a lot of color to be injected into your society soon enough if you keep up with those clean coal jobs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Thank God we'll have clean coal to look after. And it's weird how people are anti-immigration yet pro climate change.
Right. Well, like, I guess that's what you are, right?
Because like, if you really are anti-immigration, that would make you the most staunch. You really want to make sure climate change doesn't happen, because guess what's going to bring the most migrants?
Right. And what has?
Well, but then again, we're also talking about the people that think that people show up at the southern border from Mexico because of America's freedom.
Right.
And not that America, through its imperialist endeavors, has completely destroyed Central and South America, which is why they flee their war-torn countries to show up in America so that they won't be killed by gangs. So.
Payback, bitch.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty sick game that's going on, but thank goodness the IPCC reported on it, and now we get to know. So what we can say for certain is that, you know, it's not just Polynesia that's going to be underwater, it's going to be everybody.
Right.
We need to slow things down, and to do that, the report says global net human-caused emissions of carbon dioxide would need to fall about by... You know, let me know what you think about this number. It's a pretty reasonable number. So global net human-caused emissions of carbon dioxide would need to fall about just a mere 45% from 2010 levels by 2030, reaching net zero around 2050. This means that any remaining emissions would need to be balanced by removing CO2 from the air. You want to take some bets on how likely we're about to hit that?
I mean... I definitely bet against it.
I'm betting against that. I'm not a betting man, but let me tell you, like, there is no way in hell.
And it's a leadership issue, right? The leaders, they don't have any accountability.
Wait,
so what do they give a
shit? It's not the poor people that did this?
Well, you know, they definitely did because they vote for those fucking people. So they did kind of. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, poor people. We're not always going to support you. You gotta shoot yourself in the foot a lot.
Oh, like, no. I know. I'm trying to, like, I'm really trying to be on the side of the working class here. And that includes, unfortunately, some pretty horrible elements of,
you F yourself too of much. White sorry. Canada.
But, yeah, you know, sometimes you got to take a look, cold, long, hard look in the mirror and be like, yeah, you kind of shot us all in the foot there. Like, don't get me wrong, like the purple haired weirdos, like I don't like them as much as the next guy, but to throw Earth under the bus just right. to get back, just to trigger the libs, just you exacerbated climate change to trigger the libs.
Hell of a bargain.
Yeah, it's quite astonishing, but not surprised, not the dumbest thing that's ever happened here, but it's up there. Anyway, so
that's right. Just one more weird effect. You know, the coast is gonna have too much water, and inland's gonna have no water. So, you know, drought. So don't think just because you live inland, you're not gonna feel the effect.
Can you lay off our prairie listeners that obviously voted for the Conservatives in the last few elections?
Right, your crops ain't gonna grow.
Yeah, okay. No, they're very short sighted out there, and you know, and this we'll just tie it back into colonialism. Turns out that a colony made up of capitalist organizations and as well as a patriarchal organization where we have a top-down, ultra-masculine kind of way of looking at things. So the earth is a woman that needs to be tamed, which is a totally insane way of thinking about. I'm not kidding. If you read what European explorers wrote about the earth, it's pretty shocking. And it's really? You thought about it that way. It makes sense we're as fucked as we are. So that being said, we although we are taking this very seriously over here at the Spencer Latu Show, and we take climate change very seriously because guess what? It is going to affect all of us that, you know, those forest fires, we were breathing that poison air. And we're only going to breathe more of it. And
we forgot about that hella fast. Right?
Well, I didn't. I mean, like, the media is like, oh, yeah, that didn't happen. I'm like, no, it totally did because we all remember, like, it happened the year and the year before. And, yeah, anyways. So, yeah, every year, I think that happens for at least two weeks and ruins everything that no one wants to talk about.
Since we're betting next summer, I'll bet $50 it's going to happen again.
All right, I'm not taking your bet. You've already cleaned me out by betting on the Pats. Anyway, so more ignored than denied. So obviously the politicians are clamoring and saying, hey, we need to upend capitalism and we need to replace all these mega corporations with worker-owned co-ops, and we need workers to own the means of production. That'll change the social relations and re-empower the working class to make decisions that are in their own benefit and really save the planet. You know, we're going to put people before profits, and we're going to stop all the wars, and we're going to stop all the exploitation of people. Actually, they've said none of those things. Instead, what they've done is decided to ignore the IPCC report. So the Conservative Party, the bastions of climate science, leading up to this point, I'm being very sarcastic, they are the most regressive, reactionary, and retrograde elements of Canadian society. They do not have the term global warming on their website, so that's good. The Liberals are currently offering ways to support Trudeau, which is good. He needs all the support he can get because he's destroying everything and really going to screw us over with climate change. And the NDP is promising some vague generalities. They're talking about establishing binding targets and clear standards to cut greenhouse gas emissions. Okay, so that really is not going to do us anything because, as the IPCC pointed out to us, that we need to cut carbon emissions by 45% yesterday.
Right.
So that is really not going to help us at all.
We're
so
too short-sighted. You know?
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, and then the political leaders obviously have nothing. The Green Party's on it, but they're also nut bars, so we're really screwed because, you know, it's sad that the crazies are going to save us, but, you know, I guess
that's how it's always been.
I guess I'm going to have to vote green again because nobody else is taking this seriously but the Green Party.
Right.
So provincial politicians like Jason Kenney and Doug Ford are promising fast relief from Trudeau's feeble carbon tax. So that's great. The most market-based solution to the problem, which would not even solve the problem,
right. The
carbon tax, cap and trade, and all these other things. We'll get into them another show just to explain how big of a neoliberal scam they are.
Right.
I'll do a quick rundown. So carbon tax, which is basically you're paying to pollute more, so you just pay more for how much crap you pump into the air. I mean, that's fair. We'll just trade money for destroying the planet.
Right, but demand doesn't even go down because people still need to commute and transportation is a key industry, so...
I mean,
it's
yeah.
It's bullshit.
So
right?
we remember when we ripped out all those electric trams that we used to have? Railway Street, Railway in Richmond, that used to be electric trams. Mm. Arbutus Street, where they have the beautiful gardens, that used to be an electric tram. And guess what? The fossil fuel interests bought those up, ripped them out, and now we use buses, and that's why we're screwed. Anyways, so when what cap and trade is basically commodifying climate change. It's so sick. It's so disgusting. I almost feel bad explaining it. It's like saying that you can buy a certain budget worth of pollution.
Right.
You buy the right to pollute from the government. So basically the government sells our air, the commons, to these corporations for them to then destroy them. And that is supposed to be helpful because we're getting money to spend on green initiatives while we're still being destroyed. So it's right. It's pretty next level. You know, that is some Orwellian.
Even though it's hella ludicrous, it's still preferable over oil subsidies.
Yeah, like
fucking give out.
Yeah, exactly. Which now we're going back the opposite. And there is Rachel Notley screaming about the Trans Mountain expansion. Jeez. John Horgan okays a liquefied natural gas pipeline to Kitimat. So I'm not saying that the bourgeoisie, if people, I know it's October, I know it's been about 100 years, and if anyone wants to get a little bit crazy and attempt anything a little bit outside of their political discourse usually is, which is showing up to vote every 4 years, if you want to do something a little bit wilder, now would be the time, because it's pretty clear that it's not us that's going to wipe us out. It's not the Germans that are going to show up. It's not the Japanese that's going to show up. It's going to be the Earth changing and human beings not being able to deal with that change. Because guess what? We're born out of the Earth like everything else. And if we can't, and if we make the Earth unlivable for us, then we can't live there. I mean, what's not to get, right?
Right, right. And this cliche has been said a lot. We're destroying the Earth, but not really. It's just going to, adapt to these conditions which we forced upon it, and we're going to suffer the consequences. So, the Earth really is saying, haha, suckers, back on you.
Yeah, the Earth will be fine. Like, what happened was, millions of years ago, I'm not a rocket surgeon here, people, so my history of the Earth might be a little bit twisted, but at one point, grasslands were a new thing. Grasslands were like a new environment for things to grow. It was Earth's new experiment. So what the Earth really is a place for life to grow, change, evolve as events happen, so to speak. An asteroid can hit, change everything, right? That's what wiped out the dinosaurs.
That's
so
theory, yes.
Yeah, okay, sure. Really,
hey,
getting into
nitty-gritty.
I don't know what did it, but that's not the point. What I'm saying is that Earth is changing. It's dynamic.
Absolutely.
It's constantly changing, and there's always new experiments going on.
Right.
Now is the Anthropocene. That is the human era. That is the human time on Earth. Will it come to an end? Probably.
Probably,
so,
right.
That's where we're at. And the only people we can, it's like the Spider-Man meme of like liberals and conservatives blaming each other.
Right.
They're both pointing at each other and they're both Spider-Man. And it's
right.
Basically it's where we're at. I know, I'm sorry, this is some bad radio, me explaining memes, but it's where I'm at. It's the only way I can really communicate. It's where we're at,
right,
to say the least. So, And to bring in some class perspective, this unfortunate experiment of humans and capitalism will always, and just, it's always weird how capitalism is always working out like this, Ajit. It's almost like it's planned that the poorest of us are going to suffer disproportionately compared to the rich.
Right.
So the global poor are already suffering. So Bangladesh is suffering climate change disasters, as well as all the Pacific Island nations that can see parts of their islands going underwater.
Sub-Saharan Africa.
Yep, there you go. It's becoming a giant desert.
Right.
And make no surprise, like, let it be known that they're poor, so they have to suffer from it. So some petty bourgeois were suffering. Good. The people of Phoenix, Arizona, they've decided to move to Flagstaff, Arizona, because they couldn't stand the heat of Phoenix.
Jeez.
And that just shows you the world's changing, and it's our fault for it to change. But, are we going to choose climate catastrophe, which is human beings gone forever off the face of the earth, and it's going to be like the worst violence humanity's ever seen, triggered by this mass migration that we've already talked about, coupled with our horrible politics of neo-Nazis running the American government, trying to get in charge in Canada, but also succeeding to control some European states. So God forbid when those people like flee their homes from due to the climate change that they themselves did not cause, they're basically running into the future. You thought the Holocaust was bad? Wait until this gets going. And now...
Well, it's already ongoing, right? Like, why are cancer rates up? Like...
Oh.
The earth is hotter. Like, hey, Americans in the Sun Belt, your fucking grandkids, this is going to be their choice. How long can I go outside for until, you know, my immune system starts getting killed by the sun?
Well, they're just going to live in tunnels. I mean, like, right. and the thing is, like, we're going to pick that. So that's one scenario we kind of laid out there where your DNA gets destroyed by UV light the second you leave your shelter. Or we could just have good old climate disaster where we have a few more hurricane Irmas, a few more hurricane.
There's one today.
Hurricane Harvey. There's a hurricane today?
Yeah.
Where?
Turned Category 3, hitting American East Coast, yours truly.
Yeah, there you go. That South Carolina hurricane, or North Carolina hurricane.
Florida Panhandle. That's, yeah. You guys deserve it, sorry.
Be nice to Rick Scott's people.
Oh,
I know, right?
Doesn't believe in the shit, which is killing his own people.
I know.
But that's typical, right?
That's like, what kind of politics is that? Nonetheless, I'm not going to go down the Republican rabbit hole. Okay, so what we're hoping for, and this is us knocking on wood. That's me knocking on wood. It's just the disaster because it's going to keep happening. It's going to accelerate. You know, whether or not the Middle East will become unlivable, we'll find out sooner than later. And what the best case scenario we got here is massive floods, hurricanes, the forest fires will probably burn up most of British Columbia. You know, that's kind of what we're hoping for here. Because if that's the worst it gets, it's going to be horrible and it's going to displace a ton of people and kill a ton of people. But at least humanity will live on.
Right.
And that's the best where we're at. So this, and what I want to tie it all into is this is the cost of having a society that is premised solely on the basis of extracting labor.
Right.
Sorry, extracting value from the labor power of workers.
Right.
That's what this comes at. That is the root cause of all of this.
That's how we justify it, right?
Well, but that's how we got here.
Right.
It's because we have 1% of the population control everything. Actually, less than 1%, to be fair.
Right.
We have 0.0001%, about 3,000 billionaires on the planet of 7 billion people, pull all the levers, pull all the strings, right. Make all the decisions. And this is what they came up with.
Right.
So the next time there's a big like circle jerk over how great capitalism is, just know that capitalism is what brought this climate catastrophe onto us that's wiped humanity off the face of the earth.
Right. Like, you know, what foresight for Marx to show that, you know, his book in Day and Age, it was centered on the exploitation of workers. But the fact that he mentioned the environment and how that was going to...
He didn't mention the environment. That was me extrapolating that.
Okay, sure.
I wish Marx was that smart.
Linguistically, I'm sure the way he put things, because he used a lot of religious phrases and like phraseology, whatever, if that's even a word.
Yeah, I bet he
allusions to the earth.
I bet he could have seen that because it's pretty obvious, people. So if you have an economic system based on exploiting people, then what's to say that we don't exploit, I don't know, the earth?
Right.
Which is what big oil is.
Right.
Which is what the military industrial complex is. Like, I think about it this sometimes, and this might be me being a little bit of a hippy dippy, but we use the finite resources of the earth. The earth only has so much on it. There's only so much steel we could possibly build, so much coal, so much all this other stuff, like all the
petroleum,
things that we, yeah, petroleum, just in all the rare earth minerals that go into creating the like endlessly complex computer systems. From that, what we've done with the bulk of it is use it to make things to kill each other. We've created death machines from the finite resources of the earth. And that's the only thing we can possibly conceptualize to do with what the earth is and what we've inherited as, you know, hairless apes.
Right.
And that, and just thinking about that almost makes me think, like, you know, it's almost, I can't imagine how we've made it this far. Because if that's what we've been doing up until this point, it's pretty shocking we've made it this far, knowing that that is what we've done with ourselves and the earth. Ajit, do you have anything else to say about climate change?
I mean, I feel what we needed to say has been said. Hey, we're gonna still do this show. Guarantee this. This is not a. This is a never-ending story. Okay, this will drip until the fucking drip is on you.
It's gonna keep giving and keep giving and keep giving.
So we're underwater, so you know.
Yeah, thank goodness. I don't even know if I can blame anyone but myself. I think that's kind of what got me into doing this and just getting involved in the left critique of everything is that I just don't want to see it end. Right. I don't want to subject people who haven't been born yet to this screwed up world, this screwed up system
right.
that we live under. It's not fair. They didn't ask for this.
Right.
And I'm alive. I still have a voice. I still have something I can do. I have my labor power exploited like the rest of us, but I'm just not going to go quietly into the dark personally. I just really can't see myself giving up yet. It's just it's beyond any kind of it's almost like I don't want to say people, like, I don't want to make moral judgments on other people, but if you don't give a crap about this, I just think you're a bad person.
Right.
Like, you don't have to agree with what I'm saying. You don't have to think that. You don't have to agree with Marx's theories. You could have your own theories. You could have your own reason for things. But if you can't, like, read the writing on the wall and say that this is some hoax on your freaking anime board that you post on with a bunch of other anonymous people like they do in 4chan, like, there's just something wrong with you.
Well, I mean, the system's so twisted that it's trapped the worker into this short-sighted sequence of events where they can't even afford to look at the bigger picture because they got to worry about such, you know, menial bullshit, right? Like, obviously it's not bullshit, that's their life, right? But I don't mean it that way, but, you know, that's the reality for them, right? And, you know, how can they be activists when they gotta work that second job?
Yeah, well, I agree with you completely. It's just kind of like, well, there won't be any jobs to even work at, so what's it to you, you know? Like,
right.
I think we'll finish this with Marx's quotes. Workers of the world unite. You have nothing right. left to lose but your chains.
Word life.
Straight up. I mean, that's... Amazon factory. Yeah. Well.
Oh.
Your chains will be the... Your chains will just become the water that's covered your house. Okay, so we're gonna move on now, and to the trade deal that's been on the top on everyone's mind, the USMCA. It's not nearly as fun as the YMCA, but it's the best we could do. So what the USMCA is, it's NAFTA 2.0. It's it is just as exploitative to the working class as NAFTA was. It's has the dumbest name possible, but right. that's what you get for electing a dumb person to office. Good job, America.
Dumb fudge.
He's a dumb Cheeto. And the USMCA stands for the United States-Mexico-Canadian Agreement, and that this is another free trade deal. And basically what free trade means is that this basically empowers the multinational corporations mostly situated in America, gives them the power to ignore legislation from other countries, and basically makes it a race to the bottom for labor standards. So that's why Mexico is tied in there, because Mexico has horrible labor laws that allowed multinational corporations to smash unions once and for all, which is why now people don't even have a union, but what they do have is an app that is their boss, as is the case with Uber drivers, Uber Eats drivers, and the like. So it's all interconnected into the labor struggle. It's all interconnected into the environmental struggle, and this headline will kind of demonstrates both for you. So then this is how it's going to affect your health. So this is written by Brent Patterson, October 9th, 2018, from rabble.ca. The USMCA will mean more genetically modified foods on your dinner table. It likely won't surprise many that a corporate rights agreement, namely the United States-Mexico-Canada Agreement, promotes the foods engineered by transnational biotechnology corporations with genetically modified organisms, commonly known as GMOs. The signals were there. In June 2017, agriculture.com reported the Trump administration will attack overseas regulations that restrict the export of GMO crops. Now the Institute for Agriculture and Trade Policy notes that the USMCA seeks to streamline approval and trade of controversial agricultural biotechnology products and fails to protect consumers' rights to know what's in their food and where it is produced. The National Family Farm Coalition has also expressed concern that the USMCA will pave the way for unregulated, gene-edited, genetically modified organisms, further consolidating the control that seed and agrochemical companies hold over farmers. The deal will also mean more milk in Canada from cows that have been injected with genetically engineered RBST, a growth hormone to boost their milk production. The U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the drug in 1993, but the drug is not allowed to be administered in Canada. More of that RBST milk will be entering Canada, given the USMCA opens another $3.59% of the Canadian market to U.S. dairy producers. So there you go, people. It's in the milk. We have genetically modified milk. Ajit, are you a milk drinker yourself? I personally am dairy-free.
Well, I'm brown, so yeah, guilty as charged.
What do you think of RBS, genetically engineered RBST, a growth hormone to boost milk production, being in your milk?
I think that's right. That says it right there.
Yeah, so that's, and hopefully this dispels the whole, all the lies that free trade was sold under. The lies were that, you know, we're going to progress, we're going to democratize the world through this, you know, we trade with them and then we'll import their cheap goods and export democracy.
Well, this is the important part, and I think anybody listening, please get at this. It's going to be at a cheaper price, and that's how they're going to try and, like, you know, F you over. It's going to be cheaper. They're going to try taking up the market share by the dollar more, $2 more Canadian milk. It'll help you live longer. It'll be better for your children's health, for your family's health. Just recognize that. And, you know, because we, you know, Canada, for all things screwed up about it, has pretty good regulation.
We at least had RBST banned.
Right, exactly. There you go. And we got at rules least. About identifying this effed up stuff, which will go into your body and create cancer. Why is cancer rates going up? Because of this shit. That's why. Like, come on, people. Connect
well,
the dots.
Before you get more upset, let me tell you about something that'll make you even more upset.
Sure.
Genetically engineered salmon. So in November 2015, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration approved the commercial sale of Aqua Bounty genetically engineered salmon for human consumption. In May of this year, the FDA approved the first U.S. facility for the production of genetically engineered salmon. The CBC reported last month that 4.5 tons of prepared sashimi products with Aqua Bounty's genetically engineered salmon, approved by Health Canada for sale as food in May 2016, had already been sold in Canada this year. The USMCA will help facilitate the cross-border production and sale of this unlabeled product. Not surprisingly, the Biotechnology Innovation Organization, the world's largest trade association representing biotechnology companies, has already endorsed the USMCA. So guess what? You don't even have a choice anymore. You don't even get to choose. Oh, capitalism's so great. Look at the supermarket. I have so many choices. You don't even get to pick if you get the genetically modified salmon, or it's just there. You have to deal with that. You gotta. Oh, if only there was a way for us to get salmon not genetically modified. We used to. Guess what we did to it? We destroyed that too. We overfished. We polluted the environment, and we put them onto fish farms. And now we have this screwed up system. This is next level disgusting. I would never in my life eat genetically engineered salmon.
Jesus Christ! Like,
would you eat that?
Hey man, in a few, you know what? I might as well, because in a decade we're gonna be eating gum. What are you? Jellyfish?
Soylent Green. That's
jellyfish before that, though. Like,
jellyfish.
That's all that's going to be left in the ocean.
It's going to be Soylent Green. It's going to be Soylent Green. Reduce our greenhouse emissions. Yeah, that'll cut into greenhouse emissions.
We'll just eat the crap.
Oh, I know. I know 1% of the population we could eat anyway. So
there you go. Yeah. Hey.
Feed the homeless, eat the rich. Okay.
It sounds illogical now. Wait.
Yeah. Just wait on it. You're going to get it. Just read Capital another time. Okay. So we have to take a short break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Come and feel our positive energy at Falun Dafa Fellowship. Falun Dafa, also called Falun Gong, is an ancient spiritual discipline based on the principles of truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance. It's a self-cultivation practice that improves mental and physical wellness through meditation and simple exercises. It's been well documented to improve mind and body, relieve stress and anxiety, increase energy and vitality, and promote morality and spirituality. Why not give yourself a chance to learn free of charge? To learn more, please visit our website at falundafafellowship.com.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about Well, paperclips mostly. At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion.
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live bands, swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
What's up, everybody? We're back. You're listening to the Spencer Latu Show on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting live from unceded Musqueam territory. I'm with my co-host, Ajit.
What's up?
We have special guest, Kyle Mikulak of the University Underground fantastic newspaper, and he's going to tell us a little bit about the human rights complaint. Say hello to our listeners, Kyle.
Yo, yo.
Okay, so quickly to run through this, this was written by David Nixon, published October 2nd, so this is a little bit later, but the headline is, six employees file human rights complaints against UBC. Six employees at the University of British Columbia have filed human rights complaints that involve top administrators at the school alleging discrimination against pregnant and disabled workers. The Association of Administrative and Professional Staff, the union representing about 4,500 UBC employees, said it has been working with its lawyers and the employees to file eight complaints with the Human Rights Tribunal since May. The complainants chose to go public to ensure the university was held publicly accountable, the union's executive director, Joey Hansen, said. This is clearly a systemic pattern on behalf of the university's leadership, said Mr. Hansen, adding the union wanted the process to be public. According to filings obtained by the Globe, the complaints involved UBC's Chief Information Officer Jennifer Burns, Dean of Education Bly Frank, and UBC Okanagan's Dean of Health and Social Development Gord Binstead. The remaining two complaints name only UBC. The complaints have been accepted for filing by the BC Human Rights Tribunal, Mr. Hansen said. Parties may settle before a hearing is reached. The Globe reached out to the administrators named in the complaint. Dr. Binstead said he was aware of the complaint and declined to further comment. The others did not respond to a request for comment. In a written statement, the UBC told the Globe and Mail it is aware of the complaints but denies the allegations. We take seriously any discrimination concerns that are brought to our attention, wrote Kurt Heinrich, senior director of UBC's media relations. Given the privacy interests of those involved, the university will not be making any further comment about this matter and will defend its position at the tribunal. Mr. Heinrich said in the statement the university wishes to keep the names of the university administrators and the complainants private because the allegations constitute private and confidential information, and releasing this information could be very harmful to these individuals. You know what else could be very harmful to these individuals? Maybe not paying these people and discriminating against them because they're freaking pregnant, you sick MFs. Like, what is wrong with you people? Like, you pick on the lowliest of the low of your workforce, the people who can't even, who are disabled. Like, it's sick. Kyle, do you have any thoughts on this topic?
Well, you know what? What's really shocking is the same day David Nixon released this article. And, you know, David Nixon has actually been getting to the core of a lot of issues plaguing UBC. But they released, UBC announced it was going to spend $1.6 million on a new video marketing campaign, the first in its history. Literally the same day that these claims came out, the UBC decided to spend an extraordinary sum of money to try to give the public perception that they're actually doing something different than what they are used to doing. So it's just a big cover-up again. They're not actually getting to the root of the issue and just treating the symptoms.
So, Ajit, do you feel that the future video advertising that they use $1.6 million of your tuition money on, do you think that sways your opinion from their blatant, their ableist employment practices, or have they won you over, or are you still on the side of pregnant people and disabled people?
I'll go with the latter, but I don't know. I guess this is just the crux of the issue, isn't it? We'll just spend our way out of any problem. You know, lawyer up, right? 1.6 mil to a mark. What the? I don't know. Sorry, just the way you said it was just hilarious.
It's like, thank you for coming on air, Kyle. That was fantastic, and you'll definitely be our go-to for all UBC related issues. It's just, and I appreciate you pointing out these contradictions, because I feel like capitalism is in general an extremely contradictory ideology. You know, it has two forces and two classes pitted against each other constantly. Right. They're in constant class struggle and class conflict. We have the owning class, people that own the means of production, which is UBC, and they're trying to squeeze the workers for as much as they possibly can, because they're not generous. They need to profit themselves. They need to take as much money from the workers' labor power as possible. And you know what better people to pick on than the already atomized disabled people and pregnant people of UBC? Those are the best workers to possibly pick on in the capitalist eyes, which just shows you how you can't even have ethical employment in capitalism due to this class struggle.
You know, Spencer, may I interrupt quickly? You know,
please.
While this issue is of supreme importance, it also obfuscates the fact that there is still thousands of workers on UBC working at close to half of what it costs to live in the community in which they contribute. You know, the UBC is just, rather than being a progressive institution leading the world or leading our nation in terms of the way it treats workers, is actually going in the opposite direction. And this recent human rights violations against UBC is just icing on the cake, so to speak, of exploitation for the people. But enough, you can take it on.
Thank you. I'm going to now take this hot potato and send it Ajit's way. Ajit, what do you think of the contradictions of capitalism and how UBC just seems to personify it in every which way?
Well, I mean, it just spells it out right there, this episode itself. I don't know. You literally pick on somebody who has no control over their, you know, biology in that instance, and they've been subjected to other unfortunate circumstances. I don't know. I'm just I just look at the silver lining. It's pulling the veil back on this facade, right? That's the one benefit of this.
That's the only good thing that come out of it is the truth,
right? Exactly.
That our system steps on the people who need the most protection.
I gotta say, sorry. Just props to the right, though. You know, you say the left promotes class warfare. Well, they're the ones doing it, initiating it.
Yeah, we're on the receiving end, right? You dumb. Like, if you would just stop, you know, if you would just stop crushing people. Oh, there's not enough to go around. UBC has billions of dollars saved up. They've invested so much. They take so much cash.
You gotta pay the chancellor.
Dude, they take so much money in the middle of the university. We have the money and interest building. Like, how much more can you take from us?
Don't forget about those film productions.
Oh, I got yelled at today walking out of the library. I'm like, I'm on my way to class. I didn't know I was in a movie shoot. I guess my tuition is going to be raised another $1,000 next year.
Yo, any UBC student, run into any scene you see. That is your right.
Yeah, free tuition.
Seriously.
Yeah, fight the power. That's going to be great.
Great
idea. Dare you to shut us off.
That's going
to
be great praxis, is be like, we're slaves. Right. We're indentured servants here.
Right.
Yeah, no. If only we lived in a forward-thinking country. Like, I don't know, all those other places that have free school.
Right.
So progressive.
No, just buy that $50,000 MBA, yo. Totally will teach you something you didn't know already.
Yeah, you can be an even better cog unlike the other cogs. Those cogs in the machine we don't like, because they're the brown and black and the indigenous cogs. But you could be if you are a person of color, well, you can at least credentialize yourself to become a well-liked cog, and a cog that we're nice to, but you'll still be a cog in the machine. And that's what, you know, the right pretends to be, all these rebels, and pretends to be tough. I don't know what's so tough about licking the boots of the powerful every day, about going online and posting a bunch of shit about how great it is, that when they're taking advantage of disabled and pregnant people. Yeah, you guys are going to be real proud of yourselves, right? Like, this is totally this is somehow the purple-haired weirdo's fault. This is somehow the left's fault. This is somehow Venezuela's fault. No, this is just capitalism, the way that it works on our campus, in our world, and in our lives every fucking day. Okay, and so on that note, we will end our broadcast for this evening. You can check us out on iTunes. You can subscribe to the Spencer Latu Show for weekly podcasts of our live broadcast. If you can't tune in, you can hear it on your Apple device. We're going to be moving on to other platforms, so you people with Androids out there, you know, I know that you have the inferior phone, but we still love you. Okay, so we will be signing off for this evening. Thank you so much for tuning in.
is a sigh of relief because Fun Drive 2017 is officially over. To everyone who donated their time, energy, money, forgot to donate now but will donate online at citr.ca, couldn't donate this year but will donate in the future, and to our community as a whole, CITR and Discorder want to say thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just like thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for trusting us with your money, and we promise to make good use of it.
Muchas gracias. Gracias, gracias.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Merci, genre infiniment.
Thank you, everybody. That was great.
All right, this is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show. My name is Matt. You may be listening live or at